Blog Talk Radio.
Hello, everyone. I'd like to welcome all of you back to Ohio Exopolitics. This is your host, Mark Snyder, calling in on the phone again. Unfortunately, I didn't try the Skype thing again since it wasn't working yesterday. I thought I would just jump to what I knew was available and working. You know, I have a lot to cover today, and this contact report, Port 229, is pretty huge, and it's something you could spend weeks on. So I'm just going to dive in here, I think. And if anyone's new or listens to this show for the first time, you might be a little bit lost for a while. Try to bring things back together. This is one of the contact reports. Edward Albert Meyer is a contactee from Switzerland. He has had contact with extraterrestrial humans that look very much like us since 1945. This contact is with a man named Quetzal, and Quetzal is going to talk a little bit about the Nazca lines in Peru. Billy has some questions about that, some follow-up questions. They both had discussed this topic earlier in March of 1987 in contact for 216. So we're picking back up with the Nazca lines. And Quetzal says, I'd like to explain a few things. Each one of the scrape pictures was portrayed by a non-interrupted continuing line. For their construction, drawing patterns were used, which were transferred and enlarged into the ground until the desired size was reached, with ropes that were attached to standing poles that were held by people with revolving straps. An improvised circle was built, which served to scrape the spots that had already been marked with tools. The light sediment layer under the desert surface was uncovered, and these were symbolizing gods that were revered by the Nazcans in those times. At the same time, the scrape pictures were also astronomical calendar and huge astronomical garden. They were both, because the figures portrayed portrayals of gods who, according to the Nazca people's belief, were seen in star pictures. For the interpretation of the Nazca star pictures, animals and birds known to the people, and also geometric figures which were used, were believed to be seen in the star constellations. So some of the figures in Peru are so supposed to mimic things that are seen in the stars. And it says in verse 11, on the holy God day that was set at that day, when day and night were of equal length, the entire people were walking in long marches over the scrape pictures and honoring the quote-unquote gods, and they performed rituals and ceremonies to honor these great and powerful gods. Now, this gets interesting here because Quetzal starts to talk about some of the human sacrifice that the Nazca people were doing. And it says here, in order to make their gods peaceful, lower human beings, in quotes, lower human beings like slaves, enemies, and unwanted people were sacrificed and killed in such a way that they were bound onto special altars and a heavy wooden thorn or stone thorn was driven into the forehead. It's rather gruesome, isn't it? And the skull. And a cactus thorn was driven through the lips to shut up their mouth for all times, and to silence them. And these ceremonies were executed by the priests who were, quote-unquote again, holy men and who led a prosperous life. The priests were also responsible for the performance of the, quote-unquote, holy rituals and ceremonies on the screen pictures and were permitted to walk on not only on the Holy God Day, but at any other time that was permitted. Anyway, this is a brief overview. I'm just giving a brief overview of the Nazca lines. Another interesting thing that Quetzal brought out is the Nazcans had very high skulls, and the skull, it says, was artificially produced. These skull shapes, the skull form was artificially produced. As long as the skull was still formable, it was restricted and bound with grinded metallic stony wooden plates, forcibly leading to a skull of long form and resulting in an oblong deformation. And then there's also very large skulls in other places in South America, some of which appear to be larger than what you would consider typical human skulls. But certainly the Meyer material says the Nazcans also intentionally elongated their skulls. And it goes on here to talk about the Mayans a little bit and the Mayan culture and some of the things that happened during the Mayan culture. And there were three great drought periods during the Mayan culture. Now, back in the year 754 was one of the big ones. One of the droughts lasted 10 years. And during these droughts, the Mayans actually would sometimes eat old people and children to last through these droughts. Pretty strange and bizarre things. The contact continues. And Billy and Quetzal are talking a little bit about methane gas, which is stored in the sea. And Billy mentions that these enormous clouds of gas bubbles can detach from the seabed. In the Bermuda Triangle, these gas bubbles rise up to the surface. They form whirlpools into which ships will sink and be lost. And if the gas clouds of methane ascend over the sea and fly into airplanes, then the methane gas becomes ignited by the engines of those airplanes, whereby tremendous explosions occur and to tear the planes into their smallest pieces. So that's some of what's going on at the what they call the Devil's Triangle, so to speak. Quetzal and Billy talk a little bit about lightning and what happens during lightning. And I didn't want to get into that too much. Well, here's something that kind of relates a little more to what you might call the overall picture with the Meyer material. The Meyer material states that Edward Albert Meyer's spirit form has been on the earth a while, and it's been here as other personalities and other prophets. In February 3rd of 9308 BC, a man named Henoch was born. That's one of the earlier personalities of Edward Albert Meyer. Jeremiah was born on February 9th, 662 BC. Jezeiah, who we call Isaiah, was born around 772 BC. Eliah was 891 BC. It's interesting, these prophets are always born in February, and usually the first week. It says here that Eliah, who we call Elijah today, was flown to Srinagar, Kashmir in India on a beam ship. And usually it's interesting, the times of these births are very similar as well. Jeremiah was born 1123 a.m. Jesaiah 10:44 a.m., Eli at 11:02 a.m., Henoch at 11:01 a.m. Quetzal is doing the talking here, and he continues to tell Billy a little more about these prophets. And this contact 229 that I'm speaking about, I believe that we will be talking about the prophecies of Jeremiah. Let me read this little section here. Jeremiah and I think Isaiah, these are actually predictions. When the prophet of the new time spreads his teaching in the new time, the time of the great transformation has begun. It will start in the second millennium and lead into the third millennium after the birth of the prophet Emmanuel. And when the second millennium ends and the third has begun, human beings will be blinded by gold and material values to such an extent that they will be counting silver coins in all countries everywhere. And the human beings look up at the stars in the sky at night. They will see only gemstones. They will build cult places for cults to worship, and they will pay homage to a non-existent god as well as saints. And this is an unbelievably interesting contact report. It's incredibly long, and I cannot read all of it to you. I just will read a few little sections. And it's always at the beginning of these paragraphs, it talks about when the new time prophet appears, which, of course, is Billy, Edward Albert Meyer. And it says, when the new time prophet appears, the unreasonableness of human beings will become rampant in such a manner through the procreation of descendants that the earth, the sky, the oceans, the forests, the prairies, and the deserts, as well as the mountainous regions, will be populated to such an extent that no human being is able to take one step unnoticed. So I guess we're going to continue with the terrible trend of overpopulation that we have, unfortunately. I'll skip to another paragraph here. It says, at the time of the prophet of the new time, the human being will fall victim to various god cults and consequently will lose his inner freedom. The cults will become large groups of dealers, which will be established and led by human beings who are self-appointed to be godlike. But in truth, they are only dealers of lies and frauds and illusions, and instill their dangerous and deceptive poison into the human being, whereby he becomes a believer of the unreal and becomes dependent on it. However, in the end, the poison is extremely dangerous, for it destroys the thoughts and the feelings whereby the human being becomes indifferent and callous towards himself as well as towards his fellow human beings. And those who mingle this poison with their thoughts and feelings to the point of fanaticism, they will get to be like wild beasts. They will threaten their fellow human beings, kill, rape, and rob them, or blackmail and torture them. And we're seeing this trend already today in extreme Muslim belief, extreme Islam. Therefore, this kind of human being will degenerate into the worst form of inhumanity to such an extent that life for all the human beings will turn into a daily experience of never-ending horror. This is an extremely long contact. It goes on and it's extremely interesting. I recommend anyone to go out to the Future of Mankind site and look up Contact Report 229 and read it in sections. It's probably a little too much to try to absorb all at one time. At least I think it is, anyway. When the prophet of the new time begins, again, I'm skipping around a little bit, human beings will no longer search for the truth and no longer judge according to the truth. For influenced by the laws and beliefs of the god cults, They will only judge according to their own blood and their belief. Human beings will no longer listen to the complaints of the old people or the crying of the suffering children. Old people, women, and children will be disrespected. The old ones will be hidden in the houses for the aged, and women and children will be abused and driven into whoring, and nobody will be there to protect them, neither from slave drivers and pimps, nor from the legions of soldiers, nor from the terror fanatics who will attack them. And it goes on like this for pages and pages. It actually, though, it ends very well. So this whole time that's described in Contact Report 229 is the time that we're in now. It's called the third millennium. Billy talks about it. Svoth told Billy about it. We're just now getting into this time. Hopefully we can do some things to mitigate the intensity of it all. Again, this is page 18. We jump a little bit ahead. When the prophet of the new time is born, artificial materials invented by human beings will reach the air and destroy its upper layers. Therefore, the sun will burn the earth and afflict human beings with a black corrosion, causing many to die. The air will no longer be able to protect the earth and its life from the sun's heat and fire, for the air will be a curtain. The air will be a curtain of holes. Thus, the sun's burning light will consume the human being's skin and eyes, and consequently, they will lose their eyesight or die. Lakes and oceans will bubble and foam like boiling water. Rivers will dry up, and the cities will be buried. We're starting to see the problems with the ozone now. And I'm going to skip ahead again. There's a lot here. When the millennium, in which the new time prophet draws to an end, and when 800 years pass after his death, the human beings will have come so far to open their eyes and ears. Okay, now this is the good ending. And the ending here is pretty detailed and goes on for pages, but I'll just read a little of it. The human beings will have come so far to open their eyes and ears that they will be capable of seeing and hearing. But this will be because of the power of the prophet's word will begin to take effect over centuries and will permeate the feelings and the thoughts as well as the reason of the human beings. It will be a very arduous work that the prophet and his loyal supporters will have to accomplish. However, their dedicated efforts will not fail to be successful. And slowly the human beings will free themselves from their god cults and turn toward the truth of the spirit and the creation. Their heads will no longer be trapped in the delusional teaching of the god cults, and they have their eyes and ears open. Thus, they will be able to see and hear from one end of the earth to the other, and will be able to understand each other from now on. They will have become cognizant that each blow that strikes the fellow human being will hurt and injure him. Human beings will form a large community in which each one is a part. And it continues here and talks about a time when we will build these large ships, we'll be able to travel to other worlds, and a time when the earth will come back in terms of its ecosystem and be very beautiful again. And it's really worth reading Contact 229, and it deals with the predictions of the Meyer case as opposed to the prophecies, because usually we're dealing with potential futures, but this is what the Meyer case says is the for sure future that we will have. And I did skip over some of the bad parts, so when you read this yourself, you will be able to get into some of the hairy, hairy details. In any case, I wanted to chat just briefly about a few other things, one of which is Contact Report 9, which is probably not the best translation of the Meyer material, but it mentions something about the Age of Aquarius called the Golden Age. And we are in that age now. And this is a very accelerated time. And remember, I don't know if you remember from yesterday's discussion, but we talked about that there is this creational law called evolutive striving, and that we will be impulsed in this age to do more evolutive striving. So let me read a little section here what it says in Contact Report 9. It says, it treats of the Age of Aquarius, also called the Golden Age. In this respect, I must explain, the religious interpretations concerning this epoch are wrong. A certain irresponsible fanaticism treats this as the religiously proclaimed final days. By no means is this new age a final time, because in truth it brings real life. This epoch enables everything to develop to its highest potential, including spirit, according to Providence. But it will take many centuries after ending the period to reach these advanced levels. In Contact Report 229 there, it says 8 centuries. At first, as usual, the irreligious scientists will profit from the new advances, while the common people will be restrained by their religions. Caused by the change of the epoch, religious people will fall into a fanatical religious delusion, especially the 184 years of the time of change. Religious beliefs of all sorts will shoot up like mushrooms and bring many human beings under their control. Murder, suicide, and exploitation of all kind, as well as religious slavery to false beliefs, will be the daily lot by which the whole world will be shaken. False prophets will offer salvation publicly in a fanatic search for victims and new followers. In any case, the culmination of this new age is supposed to be in 2028, which is pretty darn close. Some of us may live to see that time. In any case, the origin of this change is in the radiation effect of the huge central sun, which your system circulates every 25,860 years. So the central sun of our galaxy is causing this, and the Earth has already touched the outer borders of the golden radiation of the central sun, which are of the strongest and most revolutionary radiation. So this radiation is part of what's pushing us to evolve. And remember the creational natural law. Probably the second most important creational natural law is striving. And let me read a little bit from Billy's book, The Way to Live, Die Art zu Leben in the German. It says, the fact of the new time and of the current time is that the human being has newly discovered the ur-creational law of evolutive striving. Also, the Age of Aquarius itself pushes forward with horrendous power and spurs on the striving of the human being. It is a time of upthrusting truth, which demands intelligence and reason, logic, knowledge, and progress. So we'll continue to be impulsed to learn and grow. And if you don't, the result will be misery. You will be unhappy, you'll have problems, you'll be depressed, you'll have all sorts of things if you don't buckle down and work on whatever it is that you happen to be called to work on. And this could mean your day job, it could mean your hobbies, but you have to be focused and working and make the best use of your time as possible. This is one of these creational natural laws. can't get away from it. It's the way the world works. It's the way the creation works. What is the creation? Well, our universe has a consciousness. It has a thinking consciousness. It is not what the religions say. It's not a heavenly father. It's a neutral spirit. It builds universes as a part of its own evolution. The structure, the physical structure of the universe that we live in, the Dern universe, is that we have seven belts, and this entire universe is kind of in a spiral egg shape. It's divided into these seven units or rings that encapsulate each other. They go from the very center and they go outward. And these rings, they rotate against each other. They have different diameters. They have an ovoid shape. The central core of the universe is the very center of creation. The next belt out is called the Ur-core belt. And then the third belt is called the Ur-space belt. The fourth belt is where all the material is, all the matter, all the planets, the suns, the galaxies, the meteors, the comets, the dark matter, all these things. And outside that is called the transformation belt. And then the sixth belt is called the creation belt. And the seventh is the displacement belt. And the displacement belt kind of keeps us separate from other universes, because there are other universes. One of our sister universe is called the Tao universe. Billy has a contact from the Tao universe called Asket, and she is a woman who is a member of a group of people called the Timmers. And the Timmers are descended from the Lyrians, as are the Plearen, as are, to a degree, the people of the Earth. All the Lyrians really were the ones that colonized the Milky Way galaxy. And the Milky Way galaxy has, I believe, about 7 million human civilizations, but about 2,630,000 highly developed human civilizations. I don't think we would be considered a highly developed civilization, because we're only still at the second stage of the seven evolutionary steps. So the creation is very unique. It is called a Wesenheiten in the German, and that's because it doesn't really so much control its own evolution. It kind of evolves by a predetermined pattern. It really doesn't even have a personality the way you and I do. It evolves. It evolves at a very slow rate by our standards. It takes hundreds of trillions of years to complete its expansion phase, and hundreds of trillions of years to complete what's called its contraction phase. Our universe is at the very beginning, first stage of its evolution, because it has a material belt. Most other universes that are more highly evolved have no material belt. This, to me, is very strange. I'm still trying to wrap my mind around that one. In this, I talked about the transformation belt, which is the fifth belt. It's the outer belt to our material belt, matter belt. The transformation belt, this is where matter... the forms develop from which matter develops that later exists in the material belt. So I guess the spiritual or the energetic comes from the outside in, which is a little strange. And so what's coming from the transformation belt is energy, and it slowly forms into material, enters into the material belt. Now, we cannot observe or detect anything outside of the material belt. So our scientists underestimate the age of our universe because they're always only looking at the material. As a matter of fact, there are seven other belts which are non-material, which I guess would be energetic or fine matter. And just to quote the Meyer material here, and this indicates precisely the degree of our scientists' narrow-mindedness when they claim the universe is barely as old as the distance they can penetrate into the nearly endless space with their observation devices and contraptions. So material can only be about 40 to 45 billion years old, but the universe itself is 46 trillion years old. Now, the Meyer material calls our universe the creation. You could even call it the consciousness. We all have a consciousness, but for example, the human spirit form is pretty much a fragment of this universal consciousness. So our consciousness is uniquely tied to the consciousness of the universe. And so much of the Meyer information is about helping us to think and behave in a way that's consistent with this universal consciousness. One of the interesting things about this universal consciousness is that it radiates love. And the Meyer information explains that the incredible splendor of nature is the visible expression of the love of creation. And so we see the beauty of creation through nature. Creation is said to be infinite beauty, a beauty above all beauty. And whenever we see anything beautiful, we should trace that beauty back in our own mind to creation itself. So if we see a beautiful flower, a beautiful animal, or a human being, we should be bringing that into association with the infinite beauty of creation. And the human, we should be able to trace our joy back to the joy of creation. This universal consciousness has a great joy, an inner joy to its own self. Every time the human being sees cognition reach expression, we should be able to trace that back to creation. And creation, you could think of creation existing in you as a little fragment, your human spirit, which again resides in the superior colliculus, which is this middle brain that you have here. And it's the area associated with sight and your gaze. And knowledge of creation is supposed to be able to help us with our inner peace, our security, and to help us deal with wrong feelings. So the more you learn about creation, the more blessed your life and work will become, the more powerful your personality becomes, and that's mentioned in verse 24 of Contact Report 18. And we are told to contemplate the nature of creation. People don't understand what creation is. Now, if you have enough of a clarity in your consciousness, you can start to develop something called the Empfindung block, or the ability to sense the radiating love of creation. And this is a very good skill to develop. And it's something that we as human beings can develop over time. It requires the focused observation on things. In the book The Psyche, it says, by which the feeling world in the half-material psychic realm is influenced and co-formed out of the spirit realm. Thus, for the development and formation of feelings, not only one single block of the psychic or physical or spiritual material consciousness based nature is accountable and responsible, but exactly several. So this evolution that we're going through is a very profound thing to start wrapping your minds around. You know, I was talking about the little fragment of creation that our spirit form is, and that's where our spiritual consciousness is. And according to the book The Psyche on page 30, we generally here on the earth are about 4 to 5 million years old in terms of our spirit form. But those people on the earth who came here in ships in the ancient past and died here on the earth and entered into the reincarnational patterns of the earth, their spirit forms are about 8 to 12 million years old. And as I was describing in Contact Report 229, that we eventually will leave the earth to finish out our evolution on other planets, because the blue planet will not exist for as long as the human beings on earth need for their evolution. Now, I talked a little bit about this empfinding block, which is a process of something called the gamut. Now, the gamut controls the thoughts and the feelings of the spiritual consciousness. You have a spiritual consciousness, and that resides in your, or it comes from your spirit form. The Empfindungen, they exclusively occur in the spiritual realm. And I've talked about the schwinging waves, the swinging waves that come from the electromagnetic realm of life. And the gamut transfers those to the psyche. And eventually, when we are evolved enough, we'll be able to take advantage of those swinging waves. And that's how the people in the past were able to, these extraterrestrials who came to the earth, were able to do such incredible things with their minds and whatnot because of these swinging waves. Now, Emmanuel talked about the creation. Emmanuel is one of those earlier incarnations of the Meyer spirit form. And he talked about creation, and he talked about the fact that creation is continually perfecting itself. And it does this, creation perfects itself by the generation of new spirit forms that dwell in humans, give them life, and evolve towards perfection through their learning. So we play a role in the creation perfecting itself. As we live material lives, die, and our spirit form and the material consciousness goes into the spirit realm, where those knowledge is consolidated, so to speak, stored in the spirit form, stored in the subconscious of the new personality and new conscious that's created, and then we go back into the material, and we do this cycle. You know, right now on the earth, this cycle lasts, let's say, 70 to 100 years in the physical, and then unfortunately, probably only somewhere between 10 to 30 years in the spiritual. We ought to be spending much longer time in the spiritual realm. But because of overpopulation, spirits come back too soon. This causes problems in the development of the male personality. It also causes problems in terms of being independent of parents. So there are grave problems associated with overpopulation. A couple of weeks ago, I was, and I hope I can find this URL again. It kind of worries me now that maybe I didn't save off the URL. I found a really tremendous site that had a PDF that was explaining how the forests play such an important role in the regulation of the weather. That's something I briefly talked about in other shows before. And the forests create a, when the wind blows, when the wind goes through the trees, it creates a turbulence, which sends air upward, and therefore slowing down the horizontal force of the wind. And the upward motion of the wind makes it more likely for the generation of rain. So, you know, people often, unfortunately, look at the situation on Earth of population and say, oh, we got more space. We can just fill up this Earth with people and just cut these trees down. They're not doing anything. Well, that couldn't be any farther from the truth. The forests moderate the weather, and they play a critical role in the absorption of excess water, of slowing the winds down, of creating the rains and stopping the droughts. They also mitigate heat, tremendous shade in thick forests. If you've ever been in a forest that way, the forests where I live here in eastern Ohio, the ones that are left are incredible. You can be 90 degrees outside and you can go into these forests deeply enough. It'll be a lot darker because the foliage blocks out the light, and it'll be 75 degrees in there. Well, this is the way the entire Earth should be blanketed with these gigantic forests. And if we had our population down to about 500 million, half a billion, or a billion, these forests could come back. Well, they will come back, but it'll take about 8 centuries, unfortunately. And during these next 8 centuries, we have some very, very difficult things to go through. And I touched on a few of those quickly at the beginning of the show. So in the meantime, you can probably do the best for you and for the Earth and for people you know by learning as much of this material as you can, by sharing it with people, and continue to strive, continue to evolve, to learn as much as you can. On the side of Earth, in what is called the coarse-mattered life, this is the learning period, and there's evolution associated with that. In the space on the other side is the life of the spiritual. And that's when the spirit form evolves, when it's absorbing the and learning from the experiences of the material life. So the spirit form is preparing in the spiritual realm for the reincarnation into a new human body. And each time the new reincarnation takes place, a new consciousness and a new personality are formed in that spiritual realm. So when you reincarnate, you'll get a new personality. The wisdom of your previous personality will be in your subconscious. There's something in the spirit realm called the overall consciousness block. And the overall consciousness block is where your past material consciousness is dissolved and absorbed by the spirit form, and a new one is built up. Now, nothing is really lost, because in your lifetime, the universe has a way of storing in the storage banks all of your knowledge, all of your experiences, and you'll be impulsed by these storage banks when you go through your next life, as well as by your previous life's memories. Now, the material side and the spiritual side, they occupy the same space, but they are separated by two different dimensions. So we have the visible, palpable material plane and the invisible, impalpable spiritual plane. Therefore, there's two dimensions: the material plane, in which we have physical life, in the spiritual plane, and where the spirit form of the man, it kind of floats there after the death of the material body. It lives in the spiritual realm. And what happens, and this is described in the OM book, it says, man liveth and dieth and is born again into a new body. And this type of becoming and passing, it repeats itself until the time of time has arrived at which the spirit form, as a minute portion of creation, does not need a material human body anymore. So, at some point, far, far into the future, we will not need a human body anymore. So the task of this spirit form that we have is to incarnate into a new body, and the spirit form leaves the body during the person's death to spend a certain amount of time in what's called the spheres of the beyond, and it has the task of absorbing all the accumulated knowledge from the past lives, and then it will enter back into the body of a fetus 21 days after the sperm fertilizes the egg. So there are several kinds of different evolution that occurs here on the earth. If you think about your animals, your cats and your dogs, they have an instinct evolution. So they're honing their instincts. They're you know, you see certain behaviors in animals which are instinctual. Like look at cats. They always go after prey. You know, birds and squirrels and rabbits and even insects they'll go after. It's just they're evolving their instincts. Now plant forms have what's called an impulse evolution. So plants are impulsed by sunlight, and that's the way they evolve. It's all by impulses. There's also called microevolution, where the bacteria and the viruses, they evolve. Believe it or not, even sands and stones and crystals and gases and liquids evolve. It's a kind of energy evolution there. Now, the higher species of animals have an intelligence evolution as well. Apes, dolphins, horses, ravens, pigs, camels, beasts of prey, dogs, cats, they also evolve their intelligence. Now, that's not to be equated with the conscious evolution that we have here. And as our lives go on through these many, many years, eventually here on the earth, people will get into the third stage of evolution, the fourth stage of evolution, and then the fifth stage. And in the fifth stage, people will become Ishwish, it's called, J-H-W-H or I-H-W-H, which is ancient Lyrian for king of wisdom. And Ptah is considered an Ishwish. Pelagon, we've talked about Pelagon before. Jehovah, the God of the Old Testament. Just because you're an Ishwish doesn't always mean that you are knowledgeable in the spiritual as well. Atlant and Eris. Eris the Barbarian was a king of wisdom, even though he was brutal. So that doesn't guarantee that you are a king of wisdom in terms of the spiritual learning. But I think generally an Ishwish will also be spiritual, but not always. These are human beings in the last stages of the human material essence, and before they're changing over into half-spiritual forms. And the JHWH, they're human beings like everybody else, but much higher in their consciousness and spiritual development. The ancient title of Ishwish or JHWH is millions of years old, and it was brought to the earth by the Lyrians for the Hebrews, JHWH in accordance with their false understanding, was the unutterable name of God. And this is, you hear the term, the Tetragrammaton. And that's kind of equated with the JHWH. So a term that was falsely equated with God appeared. And these terms include JHJEH or Yahweh, Yahweh, Yehovah, Adonai, Elohim, Lord, all these. Now what we've done, you see, the Meyer material says these were people, human beings at this fifth stage of evolution. In our minds, we've equated that with the universal consciousness, which is the gigantic confusion of our religions today. Now, these JHWH would have Earth humans who would be their helpers, as well as other humans, which are sometimes called watchers or angels. And another very unfortunate term is angel, because it has all of these connotations, when it just means nothing more than messenger. And these angels were generally just people, but at a higher level of evolution. That's all they were. Now, the Ishwishes, when they were on the earth, they were vulnerable to the lower thinking of the earth humans. And literally, our insanity, so to speak, in our thinking, our vibration of ignorance could kill them, it says in the OM. And unfortunately, the earth humans would worship and adore these kings of wisdom. Although they were not the universal consciousness, they were not creation. So this is kind of what's gone on in our past. Ask It Billy's second contact had something to say about the Earth humanity's evolution, and that we were way too oriented on the technical, and we had a purely material understanding of things. And our evolution in terms of our spiritual consciousness was very disadvantaged. It was neglected. And because of that, all kinds of evil things have developed here on the earth, because we don't understand the creation. We don't understand of the oneness of the universe. And because of that, we are destroying all of nature. And we don't have a natural intuition about these things. In any case, let me read a little bit from the Omphalon Murado, which is called Life's Navel. It says, creation lived, thought, had feeling and sensitivity, mind and intelligence, and the ideal of life. It grew powerful and mighty in true love to expand and stretch itself. With its power, it changed its thoughts into ideas. It created space and time. It created a universe, which in its expanse was empty and only filled with this spiritual, powerful energy of creation. Canon 52 in the OM talks about these quote-unquote Ishwishes, or gods that were on the earth. And it says, the gods of the earth were human beings. They came from the depths of the universe, from foreign systems, galaxies, and worlds. They elevated themselves on earth unrightfully above the humans, and they named themselves God the Creator. They created sects and religions in that the earth humanity may be dependent and faithful to them. They demanded that the human worship them as creator. Thus, the human of earth may be enslaved and be dependent on these gods for all time. And each of these gods created a separate religion and set himself as the creator above the humans here on earth, who then became faithful slaves to these kings of wisdom. these Ishwishes. And some of these, many of these gods, they were degenerate, they were malicious, they were obsessed by greed for power, and they murdered and they created all kinds of destruction as their mood for it was. So this, what the Meyer material says, and I know this is very controversial, and the Meyer material says this was the real, one of the genesises or the beginnings of our religions here on the earth. And I think this tradition got merged somehow with the teaching of the spirit, and the confusion resulted. The Meyer material talks about something called the Zohar, which is very similar to the Big Bang idea. And it says, in the beginning there was an egg form called the creation spiral, which eventually, it was only started out the size of a flea, but in this spiral it rotated and pulsed with spiritual energy, and it started to expand, and the energy grew and exploded with this blazing lightning fire. And this is the Zohar, was the original emergence of our universe among the countless universes of absolute space. And I think with our Zohar formed the Tao and the Dern universe, those two parallel universes. And I think the very beginning of our universe was characterized by a bright white light in the Big Bang phase, and then we went to the next phase, which is kind of a blue light. So there's a certain kind of light that's in the universe right now, and it's related to each phase of the universe as it grows. The last phase of this color is called the contraction phase, and then our light will have more of a yellow look to it in our universe. I talked about the spirit form and that each human has a spirit form, but I also want to bring up an important point that Billy made with an interview he had in 2011. And he was asked, can a human being have two spirit forms? And Billy said, absolutely no, this is impossible. Only one spirit form can be in an individual human being. We could have 20 or 30 personalities, but these 30 different personalities are a matter of the consciousness, of the material consciousness, and would be some aspect of schizophrenia. But you cannot have two spirit forms in a human being, except in the case of something like Siamese twins, where there's two heads that are, you know, on one body, or that sort of thing. And Billy, at this point, claims that there's really no such thing as people being possessed, that this is always a form of schizophrenia. There are no evil spirits anyway, according to Billy. He says they do not exist, because each spirit is absolutely neutral. Thus, no spirit form can be in a human being other than the human's own spirit form. So there is no casting out of devils, no exorcism. And the Meyer material says this is pure nonsense. Anyway, I know that's controversial, but I want to thank everyone who came to the show this evening. You've been listening to Ohio Exopolitics. I'm your host, Mark Snyder, and we'll catch you next week. Thank you very much.